This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Scott Brennan, the fabulous Adam Richard, songs the punctual Toby Sullivan, not here, where is he, don't know.
I didn't know Trevor Ashley was doing this show.
A regular on your show.
Yes.
Adam is joining us because he is a celebrity.
He's
in Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totes in Sydney.
Totes. How's Sydney, Adam? Hi.
Hi. Sydney's. It was 20 degrees today.
Yeah, belt it.
Great.
Now, how did this thing called Talking Puffy come about? Because it's about...
It grew in a Petri dish.
It seems to be anywhere between 26 minutes and 56 minutes, or plus, and it kind of makes you laugh, but it goes nowhere and it says nothing.
We had a very, very special episode once that you were on, Dean Beck, where you told us exactly how to get fisted.
Yes.
That episode did go somewhere.
Yeah. It went to Club 80.
As I recall now, Adam, you keep referring to Dean and his fistacular...
Well, overnight, thanks to Adam tweeting it.
Yes.
Oh.
You know.
You've got 30 dates next week.
Do you know how many followers he has on Twitter? And I mean, I'm not like reserved about what I'm into, but I'm not sure I wanted it on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Well, it's got to go somewhere.
Which is exactly how he starts off every single session.
I didn't want this on Twitter, but yeah.
But if it gets out.
Oh, yes.
If it gets out, you're not doing it right.
Oh, wow. It's suddenly become an episode of Are You Being Served in the studio.
My pussy.
This is how we talk on Talking Puffy all the time.
It is. It's rather out there with the language. You could not do it on radio, but we will.
Actually, when we first started, we had all these kind of visions of, maybe someone would want to, and I think would want to, you know, buy this and play it on like a digital network or something like that. What was it? Didn't somebody from somewhere listen to it, Adam?
Yeah, it was one of the program directors. When they started all those digital stations at Austereo, one of the program directors said, yeah, we'd love it. And he said, look, it's really well produced. It's the best produced podcast we've heard.
But how many podcasts at that stage had they heard?
It was early days.
Yes.
We'd done about 7 or 8.
Yes. Right, okay.
But they said, yeah, it's really well produced. You know, you've really thought about the content. It's great. It's just that it breaches about 17 broadcasting standards.
There's no way we could ever.
Have you ever considered getting it onto American satellite radio? Because they can get away with anything.
Really? We really are doing the HBO series.
Well, that's it. So every time
podcasts.
I go to America, I tune Sirius XM into Sirius OutQ. That's where Michelangelo Signorelli is on.
Rosie O'Donnell.
And those kind of
things. Oh, okay.
But
right up until Rosie O'Donnell, you may as well have been speaking a different language to me then.
But yes, but their drive team, for want of a better word, who are Derek and Romain, basically every other word is fuck.
Oh, okay.
And they are brilliant.
Oh, we could get on there.
Yeah, see, Avi, your implication that we know what we're doing.
Yes.
Astounding.
So what you're telling me is that you need a manager.
Right.
Oh, well, Mr. Angrily Retentive is about to step in.
No, but what I need you to do first is take your blouse off because it's for the art.
Yeah, we need a wrangler.
Have you ever seen someone trying to herd cats?
Yeah. Yep. It's like trying to control a hen's night.
That's the other thing. Really, it's just to enable alcoholism. There's really no end point.
It's like a Tuesday night at the Backpackers.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right.
But you guys have been doing this. This was, I think the last one was 100 and something episodes now?
124?
Yeah, episode 124 will come out on Monday.
Yes.
Now, you had a bit of a break for a while.
We did.
An entire year. Mm.
That's because you were throwing yourself off tall buildings or something.
Look, we all had some various issues going on.
Not all of us get paid that much for them.
I was, jumping off a 10-metre tower into water and getting concussion. Mm-hmm. But I think we'd been doing it, like it had been out every week for 2 years, and I think we'd just gotten to a point where it was like, oh, God, enough. Also, the way we used to record it was exhausting.
Oh.
We would record for 6 or 7 hours on a Saturday, about once every 6 or 7 weeks.
And we would get through quite a bit of champagne.
Quite a bit of champagne.
During that. So it was always, and of course we'd get to the end of recording and go, oh, let's just go out and keep drinking. And it would turn into this kind of, 15-hour.
But then you come back the next week and talk about that.
I seem to recall there was an entire season that was just your walk from DTs to the lair.
Yes.
That was to let people know what happened after we finished recording.
Yes.
That 7 weeks that went for. that was every single time we recorded one.
You are on Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and Avi Miller. In the studio is the outrageous Scott Brennan. Mm. On the line is the fabulous Adam Richard. We are going to go to a track. Stay with us.
This is Hide and Seek. We're talking Puffy with Scott Brennan and Adam Richard. And we are going to play a little extract from, I think, the first of the new season.
Okay, yep. I'm just apologising in advance, whatever the fuck we said.
The new season opened with a bit of a Eurovision / Russian theme.
Yep.
Let's take a listen to this.
But it's true, isn't it? I don't know where gay men have established this reputation with just like instant sluttery when you consider how much palaver.
I don't understand people having sex. Like, I can understand giving someone a gobby in the toilets or a wristy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
To go,
catch as catch can, right?
Yeah, to go the whole hog. Like, this, you've got to take a run up.
It's like going to the specialist. You've got to book it in a couple months in advance.
Yes.
You know, and take the morning off work.
You'll
be no good for until lunchtime.
Lifestyle change.
Like when we had Dean Fisticuffs on. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, Dean Beck.
Dean Beck. Dean Wrist.
Rose with up to the neck.
Dean Beck.
Hello, Dean.
Talking about, the diet he was on.
Oh, and planning.
He'd got into training to put things up his bum.
He's like the Ian Thorpe of fisting, honestly.
I think Ian Thorpe.
The fistpedo.
But yeah, it's not easily come by.
No. Oh.
What? Matron. We've totally gotten off our
track. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
This is exactly what Russia is afraid of. That Eurovision is a gateway to talking about anal sex. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe while we've been talking, someone's had this on in the car and they've just started fisting themselves. They've gone, fisting, that's a thing you can do.
Yeah.
Something I'm going to give
easy.
I might give that a spin. Something I've ruined the Commodore.
Oh, no. This is totally the gay agenda. This is what we do.
How am I going to get that out of that beaded seat cover?
That's just a little sample of what it's like.
A little taste. Gosh, we're funny. I don't even realise.
I love how I'm now the source of Putin's problems.
Yeah, totally. Because he keep Putin it in. That's pretty much it. Yeah. So, that is a little taste, and it's pretty much downhill from there.
That's the kind of clean version of Talking Puffy.
Gosh, that's... Well,
you know what I find bizarre is, and I've always said this, like, I think the three of us together are funnier and gayer than the sum of our parts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But Toby's clearly the sensible one.
Oh, you reckon?
Are you saying that because he has sex once a year through a hole in a sheet?
Yes.
I'm saying that because he has small hands and thin wrists.
Wow, okay, yes. He's totally the Miranda of the group. That freaked him out. When I just have to tell everyone that when Dean was on Talking Puffing, we were talking about fisting, he started doing this weird, twisted flirting with Toby. Saying, oh, you've got lovely hands, Toby. Oh, you've got nice slender wrists. And Toby freaked out. Toby won't even buy toilet paper from the supermarket. He gets his boyfriend to do it because he doesn't want people to know that he poos, all right?
Oh,
this is what we're
Toby
dealing with.
Poo.
So
Toby doesn't poo.
He doesn't poo. He doesn't poo. He just...
You know, the other thing is, was that the same night that we ended up at the Laird and we got into a conversation and one of Toby's biggest fans came up to him and was talking to him, and about 5 minutes in, Toby realised that this man, while he was wearing a harness up top, had absolutely no pants on.
No pants on whatsoever.
I was at the Laird that night.
Oh, were you?
Yes. You introduced us
to No Pants.
I did introduce you boys to No Pants. And I seem to recall at the same time that you smashed a bottle of video head cleaner.
Yes.
Yes.
Which then cleaned the video heads of everyone in a 30 block radius.
Yeah. And the guy with no pants on, we needed a mop for that one.
Really. We're going to
be rimming someone in the corner.
He was too. He was rimming someone in the corner, and Toby turned to a pillar of salt.
And on that note, let's go to some community service announcements.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy.
You're on Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9. The smartphones were out. The pictures were almost going to be compared, but no, they ran out of time.
Yes. And now, Adam, you are clearly the technical brains behind the Talking Puffy podcast.
Which is why it's become really lazy lately.
Well, you will notice that with all of the sound bites that we used tonight, I have actually fixed the audio for you.
Oh, have you?
Oh, thanks, Blau.
We can still hear Toby, though. He's not here.
It's normally Wesley at it.
That's true, yes.
Believe it or not, the last three episodes, it's you that's been impossible to hear, and that's almost impossible to comprehend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I've got new technology.
Yeah, it's not working for you.
I haven't quite worked out how to use it. And I always think that I'm the loudest person, so I turn myself down because I'm like, oh, no one needs to hear this.
I can't hear you. Now, I have got a couple of snippets throughout this episode of Hide and Seek. I must say my favourite episode or little snippet was about dirty Pilates.
Oh, don't. I nearly lost my mind during that conversation.
Well, I did. And but what I noticed is out of the four-minute clip, by the time I took half of the laughing out, there was nothing left. Right. And it didn't make any sense. It's really strange.
Yeah, it's all noise and no substance, really.
Totally.
There is substance occasionally.
What, Wes?
Oh, was that you picking on his weight, Dean? Honestly.
Don't talk about Wes's thick lady hips as substance.
Wes does bring substance occasionally.
Do you know my favourite?
Well, substances.
The guy that does the history stuff.
Oh, yes, Paul Horan.
He's amazing.
Mother Horan. Yes, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Where did you boys find him?
Yeah.
Look, we've known him for years. He's a producer and writer that we've known kind of from way back. And we refer to him as Mother Horan. He's kind of, you know, the den mother. To all of us.
I think I first met him through Alan Bro. Like, he and Alan Bro have known each other since they lived in New Zealand. I think they may have lived together in New Zealand.
Yes, I think.
Because there was a moment where there was an attempt to take Talking Puffy somewhat seriously, in the sense that you had letters and you had history and you had the vocabulary and you had the teachable moments that were very brief.
They but I mean,
yes. Well, the whole premise of Talking Puffy was to talk about, say the truth about being gay.
Yeah.
You know, we get all these lovely TV shows that show us all doing each other's hair and you know, making canapes and doing, you know, cleaning our houses and decorating and all that kind of crap. But we don't do that. So, like, no. Some of us do.
So you talk about vomiting up at pubs and things.
Yes, we talk about...
Did you ever see Cam and Mitchell on Modern Family spilling the amyl?
Ah, yes.
You never see them arguing over who's left skid marks all over.
No.
I've never seen Cam on all fours.
Well, exactly. Maybe we need to start a petition.
Yeah.
Get Cam on all fours.
Fours. Chock-a-block.
You've never seen him arguing about who's top or bottom.
Yeah. Like, so we try to talk about the truth, and often that truth involves stories of us, you know, in toilets at the
pee. Well, it usually revolves something around your ass, Scott.
Most things do.
You know, Scott's nickname in the Poofcast is when we send emails to each other, I'll sometimes send an email to Toby and say, should we tell the Guatemalan sinkhole about it?
Yes. That is my nickname.
Can you spell that?
The Guatemalan sinkhole. He can. He's very good. He can type it really quickly now.
I'm betting there's a autocorrect. GSH just automatically expands to Guatemalan sinkhole. You know,
and there's a hyperlink to Scott Brennan.
That's right, yes.
You know, the other thing is when we first decided to do a podcast, because we've been doing Talking Poofy for like nearly 15 years.
Oh, God.
The stage show.
We've existed as for nearly 15.
There was a stage
show. Well, it's all Sue-Ann Post's fault.
It is
pretty much
because all Sue-Ann Post.
So because we all went across to, was it Feast Festival?
Yeah, in Adelaide.
In Adelaide years and years ago, and at the time, pretty much the only out gay comedians in Melbourne were Sue-Ann Post, Toby, Adam, and me.
Haven't things changed?
Yes, things have changed.
There's thousands of them now, and they're all cross-pollinating.
Exactly.
No, they're all living with Scott, apparently.
Well, that's true, yes. They all do end up in my lounge room on a terrifying regularity.
Yeah, because you're the twink whisperer.
I am the twink whisperer, yes. And so, yes, we got up on stage and just started chatting, and that was how Talking Poofy of Terrible Beauty was born.
Yeah.
I'd like
when
to.
When you say off stage, you mean at 7 o'clock the next morning as we're on our way home from.
Yes,
Brooklyn.
Yes. And we'd just stop homeless people, talk to them, or just whoever was on the buses. Yeah.
In a recent edition of Talking Poofy, the whole issue of gay comedians came up, and I'm titling this Shitting in the Nest. We'll get to why in a minute.
Can you be a chuckle fucker if you're doing a show / are a performer? So basically, if you know, like if I was trying to suck off Julian Clary because, you know, he's a superstar and I'm just, you know, on television. But only in Australia. Am I trying to, like if it was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, you know what I say in this situation? And I said this to fucking Creasy and Velvo before they started rooting, and that all went horribly wrong, and now everyone's sad and tragic. Don't shit in the nest.
No,
I'm a big believer in it, actually.
Don't shit in the nest.
It's I don't know, because it just feels icky.
Yeah. Because you know what, I get it with Creasy. He's 11. Like, you know, he's only a little kid. He's what is he, 23?
Something like that.
So he hasn't had time to make all those mistakes. Velvo should know better, but he's a
he is not.
He is. Have you ever had a conversation with him where he wasn't on Grindr?
He's actually, now that you mention it,
that doesn't make him an asshole.
That makes him an asshole. He doesn't care about you and what you're saying. Oh, sorry. Look who I'm talking to. Wiz. Sorry, Scott. He doesn't care about you.
Sorry, I'm just on Grindr. Don't talk to me. Oh, my God. And here we were thinking, maybe they won't hear that.
They won't hear that?
No.
It's joy. They won't. Now, as Adam keeps reminding us.
If I could lend a bet, Valvo's not listening to Joy.
Yeah, right. No.
You got that.
Right. Yeah.
Now, this whole framework of don't shit in the nest, who worded that?
And that's one of mine.
What is that? I mean, I know what it is, but why that?
Well, do you remember how we spoke earlier on about how dirty gay sex is?
It doesn't have to be. And I told you that on the episode that I was on.
All right. Here we
go. Just takes a lot of work.
Get the whiteboard out, Dean Beck. We'll start again.
It basically comes from a saying. My mother used to say, don't shit in your own backyard. Which
you clearly used to do a lot of as a child.
No, it came from because I lived in a poor area and there was a tendency to...
They didn't have a backyard.
No, there was a tendency to climb over the back fence and do a berg on your neighbours. Mum used to say, don't shit in your own backyard, meaning if you're going to burgle someone, go a couple of streets over.
Wow. Mother of the year, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, and we ended up with Adam.
Yep.
Don't shit in the nest is basically, you know, if you're going to invite someone into your bed, don't let it be someone that you work with because
then you'll just screw it up.
Well, why did no one tell Jen why gay comedians in Melbourne?
Oh, I don't know.
Because it's that thing of like, you know, nobody understands me like he does. He has the same problems that I do.
Yeah. But at the same time, I hate to bring a bit of seriousness into this.
Someone's got to.
I know. Stand back.
I'm bored.
No, but there are a lot of studies that's where people meet other people. Is at work?
Well, yes. I guess so. But but also
you could try harder.
If you're working in an office or whatever, it's easy. You can go to another office. Let's say, you know, you can go to, you know, move to if you things fall apart.
Yeah.
But when you're a comedian, you know, there's only really still a handful of gay comedians out there, and we all tend to kind of get lumped together and often do gigs together and all that kind of stuff. And so you're going to constantly be running into the same people. A time and time again.
So don't fuck it up.
You know, the other thing is, when you work in an office, there's, say, maybe 40 or 50 people who work in that office, right?
Mm.
So imagine there's 40 or 50 comedians. But when we perform on stage, there's 400 or 500 people in the audience who all think we're amazing and would be happy to touch us on the penis.
Yeah.
So I don't see why...
Or the sound guy.
Now, I want to know this. What is it with Creasy's fans? They're all 20-something women that drag their boyfriends kicking and screaming to watch him, and they fall at his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girl, they're
not gay.
Hasn't
actually got a fag hag in real life, and they're all dissing.
Yeah. Is your name Astrid? No, well, piss off.
Join a Verena. Can you drive me from nightclub to nightclub?
That's right. Do you dress entirely in black?
No.
Not interested. Well, you know, he's kind of... Well, if comedy is the new rock, you know, the rock star comedians, he's, you know, he's kind of gay, young, spunky.
All right, next question. How the hell did Valvo get on ABC Breakfast? I mean, really?
I don't imagine they pay very much.
Mm.
Since the man who just left ABC television.
You got sacked.
I can tell you, they do not pay very much on ABC.
No one
works there because they're taking home millions of dollars.
No one's on, you know, hookers and cocaine.
I don't know about the latest incarnation of Spicks and Specks, but the previous incarnation of Spicks and Specks, I know the wardrobe budget was $35.
Was it? That's because everybody wears their own clothes.
I had to wear, I think I had 2 blazers,
ooh,
4 shirts, and 2 pairs of pants.
You
and
did.
I had to make those work for 26 episodes.
Wow.
Various combinations.
Wow.
And on that budget revelation, it's time.
On commercial television, they get contra. Like, they can write at the end of the show. Clothes courtesy of, you know, Dr. Harry's weirdo clothing warehouse.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But you can't do that on the ABC. They have to pay for the clothes. Oh.
Do you think Valvo's doing Virginia?
Oh, I'd say that's highly unlikely.
And on that note, I'm going to go to some sponsorship announcements and a bit of music. You are on Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9.
Great topics, great radio.
Hide and Seek.
Touching our community right around the nation.
Hide and Seek.
Reaching far and wide. Stream us now. Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Hide and Seek, and Dean Beck and Avi Miller are with you. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self, along with a few filthy, funny things as well.
That's going to be, you know, you've got Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Mm.
I think the talking book now can be sex, sexuality, and self.
Oh.
And you guys get to fight over who's who.
Oh, okay.
I think you were right the first time. Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Yeah, in a big bowl of milk. What a lovely image that is, Harvey.
When you say Snap, Crackle, and Pop, are you talking about my chafing?
I think you're Crackle, and Scott's definitely Pop.
I'm Toad's Pop. Toad's
I'm crackling.
Pop.
I don't want to see Toby Snap.
Mm. Now, tell me how you managed to make Where's Funny?
What?
Where's Funny? Where's hilarious.
He is very funny. He's so, what's the word? Gentle in his humour.
Yes.
That you're halfway past it before you realise what's happened. And then you realise what he's done and you just go, oh my God.
He's like an auntie. He's like that auntie at the family do that no one notices is taking the piss.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
He's the polar opposite of you.
Yeah, he's all of our, you know, jokes, our humour is kind of, you know, smash you over the head with mm-hmm. it. Wes just kind of sidles up to it, really. And,
he's very, very funny.
It's true, it's true.
But was Wes one of the... Because I only moved to Melbourne... When did I meet you, Adam? 7 years ago? 8 years ago? Oh, something like that. I'm new to the Melbourne comedy scene, as one would. How did... Did you guys always know each other? How did you sort of...
Pretty much. Like, pretty much from when I know that, you know, from pretty much when I started doing stand-up, I met Adam and Toby. Mm. And Wes soon after, because Wes kind of came into it by the back door, where... Thank you.
Well, he was a singer, really.
Yeah, he was doing sort of cabaret became more and more comedic. And so he was, you know, edging into that sort of comedy world. And so it was just sort of natural that he would gravitate towards us because we were the only ones.
No, but as somebody who was new, Scott, obviously the first time I saw you was on television.
Right.
On one of those sketch shows whose name escapes me now.
That's right, I've forgotten as well.
I can give them to you. There's a list here. Yeah. There was the Comedy Inc. On Channel 9. There was the Skid House on Channel 10.
It was Skid House because it was Nothing Sus with Tom Gibson.
Yes, yeah. That
was the one that I remember the most.
Yeah, right.
Nothing made any sense on that show.
What I wanted to ask, Adam, you've had 10 years at a commercial radio station. You've been on Auntie ABC.
Mm.
Scott, you've been on various commercial TV stations. How did you balance the filthiness that is Talking Puffy and your live shows with sort of commercial media?
Well, it's actually it became a necessity. Because when you're on, you know, TV and, you know, radio and whatever, you can't be filthy. So we needed an outlet.
But don't you have sort of morality clauses in your contracts and things?
There are, but, you know, as if they're... Like, that would involve people actually bothering to listen to an entire book.
Yes. And also, I think the morality clauses are more to do with kind of illegal things. Like, if we're
being caught in a park with your pants down.
Yeah. Like, but, you know, I've still managed
to... It's just that you haven't been caught.
No, that's right. And I can still judge. So you think you're ready to dance.
I once in Sydney took my pants off at the opera bar. And the bouncer kept telling me to put them back on. And I said, look, if I put my pants back on and there's no drugs in the pocket, then I have been sold alive by the city. Todd McKinney. Absolute bullshit.
Well, you've actually spent a lot of time with your pants down in Sydney. I've been with you a couple of times, Adam.
In fact, lately you've been spending quite a bit of time in Sydney with your pants down, we're led to believe.
Yes.
I have my pants on right now.
Oh.
Would you please take them off?
Yes, make a note in your diary, everybody. It's actually happened. Right.
Now, we've explored some of the history of the Puffcast. Where's it going?
Oh, God. Further
look,
down.
This reiteration is, you know, it's still very up in the air. There's no kind of plan.
Have we left the beach yet?
Yes.
We've left the beach.
Yes. There does seem to be a focus this season, for want of a better word, on Bevan and his myriad of problems.
His number of problems.
Yes, people write letters to us, and people who haven't listened, everyone, if you know, whoever wants to remain anonymous, writing into the Puffcast, we just call them Bevan. Yeah, and people... start just signing their letters, Bevan, now, because they know that's the name we use. But we get lots and lots of letters, people asking us things, telling us things, asking advice.
Do you sometimes worry that you're not taking, like, you obviously are a touch point for lots of questioning or gay youth and rural regional people.
You're not going to get serious, are you?
No, I wonder if, you know, reading some of those letters, you go and go, this actually probably needs to be pushed to a service. Somebody needs to answer this.
Oh, yes. Well, we don't really get full on. Okay.
Scott
many
services a lot of people.
It's true. And I'm open 24 hours. But
operators are standing by to take your credit card.
That's right.
And I should point out, Avi, when the letters come to me, and I reply in person.
Okay.
Like in the first instance.
And sensibly.
If it's someone who I think has an urgent need, I will point them in the right direction.
I've got an urgent need.
Oh, God. You're not wearing pants. Jesus.
Can I tell you, I had a very awkward experience. We had gorgeous Christian on talking about being a sex worker.
Christian Vega.
Vega. Yes.
And I had someone email saying, how can I get in contact with him? I want to book him. And I'm like, I think we're straying into a grey area.
No. You just issue Christian with a bill.
Oh, right. 10%.
You're the distributor of a wholesale business at this stage.
You work in radio. It's advertising.
That's right. Oh, imagine that.
I haven't got my certificate.
That'd be great if we could do it.
Your reliable serve, your responsible serving of cock. Yes.
You haven't got your gold chain and your gold watch.
But in answer to your question, Avi, like we muck around a lot and we make stupid jokes and we make fun of everything, but there's often kind of a kernel of an actual answer.
It tends
somewhere
to come back around.
Yes, yeah. We'll just prattle on for a good 20 minutes.
I do find myself, however, finding getting annoyed that you're not live on radio, so I can text you.
Yeah, right. Yes.
You know,
for
while
God's
it's happening,
sake,
go.
Shut up.
No. Going. Oh no, it was Mr. Peacock in the library. Like answers to the rhetorical questions that you ask.
Yes.
Oh, you can email those in and we'll answer them in about 6 podcasts.
I know you and your time frames. Yeah. I don't have that kind of patience. But in reference,
can I tell you, there is a letter in the next podcast that will make you recoil. I recoiled when I read it, and the boys recoiled when I read it to them.
We recoiled and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Just on that bringing it back around, Adam, you tend to do that eventually when you stop laughing. And quite often the answer will be in 3 words. Like you'll go on for 10 minutes about something else and then you'll bring it around and go, all you have to do is this.
You know, 10 minutes of us mucking around is kind of us thinking about it, because we don't hear the letters before Adam reads them out on the of the Poofcast, so we don't have
indication. Speaking of letters, we've had some. We have the emails to onair@joy.org.au. An email.
This is live radio, Adam.
Wow. Oh, I know. Great show. Understand the challenge: pants down versus fine upstanding balance. and a big fan of Talking Poofy from Sam.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
I didn't get it.
Andrew the Apprentice has emailed in from Sydney, going, the Poofcast should automatically direct people to Hide and Seek. And we should be your go. Maybe you too.
We had a few links.
We'll put a sponsorship announcement into the Poofcast, and you guys direct people to Hide and Seek for their actual knowledge.
I did a ride out of that.
There you go.
I'll get a bloody invoice next.
But in all seriousness, the Joy Studios are available for your production needs.
Have you thought about that, fellas? Now, really?
Maybe. I'm quite enjoying my OB van, as we call it.
Yes. The OB van, which is the size of a pencil case. That's the outside broadcast.
If only
van.
He could get his levels right.
Well, yes.
Look, but new technology, I'm getting there.
I think it's wired microphones for everyone there, Adam.
Yeah, we all have wires.
Yes.
Oh, then there's definitely a button you're not pushing.
Oh, okay.
No, I just—it's because I can hear my own voice in my ear.
And you do have big—you've got big resonators, Adam. Big resonators in your head.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
Speaking of resonators, it's time for some community service announcements.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy.
Just shake that ass, on it, baby.
Joy.
Get on it. Just shake what your mama gave you. Get on it.
We're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy. Dean Beck, Avi Miller, Scott Brennan, and the fabulous Adam Richard are with you. We've been talking poofy. How do you guys fund this thing?
Well, we ask people for money if they want to get access to the back catalogue, but purely...
Do they do that?
Yeah, some people do. If they want it.
I just hacked your website.
Well, basically...
I just asked Adam nicely.
Yeah. It's quite a drain on our on the bandwidth, and we had some panicked phone calls from our web hosters who were like, "Oh my God, we're going to get a bill the size of Christmas." So, yeah,
all
the money pays for hosting, and that's it.
Have you considered? And have you considered actual sponsorship?
Well, we considered it, but then someone would have to make the phone calls. We barely managed to get together at all.
And also, who would sponsor us, honestly?
Who would sponsor
us? Oh, I could think of a few speciality shops in this town.
Yes.
Yeah, as long as they didn't want to do anything worthwhile for their brand.
Mm.
Yeah, have you heard the way we speak about everything that ever existed?
Yeah. We hate it all. We have actually talked a bit about, you know, talking poofy merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard some of that.
Yes.
We're going to make a special.
Is there an inflatable piece of merchandise?
You know, I've got contacts in manufacturing. I can get things happening for you
it's
on that.
Kind of a tea towel. It's not a tea towel.
It's kind of a tea towel that you might leave beside your bed.
Yeah.
What about a sweatband?
Yes.
Because Adam's into this sporting, you know, jumping off things.
Yeah.
We could do sweatbands.
Yeah.
We could have a whole sporting range.
Oh, gosh.
We could have a whole sporting range.
I like that.
A whole. Yes.
That'll be Scott's range.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a hole.
Yeah.
It's just. Now, I feel a bit sorry for Toby. Should I?
No, Toby's doing all right.
I just want to give him a little cuddle or something sometimes.
Or a slap.
Can I tell you my favourite Toby moment? And this is the very first time when we realised that something terrible was going to happen, was when the three of us rocked up to the airport in Melbourne to go to Adelaide for that first trip with Sue Ann Post. It was 2001, so it was not long past the terrible tragedy in New York. So airline security was at a crazy, crazy height. And the woman at security said, "Do you have anything sharp?" And I said, "I've just got this pen." And Toby piped up with, "Yes, we might write something arch."
I thought he'd go more Oscar Wilde with my wit.
Yes, no, he doesn't need to, darling.
But it wasn't a good time for humour in air travel.
No, it was not.
As somebody who had to fly internationally 2 days afterwards from Johannesburg to Sydney.
Wow.
That was...
It's a lot of water.
It was hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, this was November, so it was...
Wow.
A couple of months later.
Wow.
And I was still maintaining at that stage going, if they're going to take any plane, it's not the SAA flight from Johannesburg
to
Sydney.
I wouldn't imagine that would be a big target.
Yeah, that's what we thought about the flight.
Yeah.
Between Melbourne and Adelaide.
We're kind of way down the list.
The first flight to Adelaide's not anyone's priority. But
if they were after, you know, some poofs, they would have done well on those flights. You know, really.
Now, we know that Adam's had a number of chuckle fuckers out of this exercise talking puffy, but Scott, you seem to do all right for yourself. How many have been directly associated with talking puffy?
I
love your implication that he asks them their names, let alone how
many. This is a survey, Adam. There's a clipboard and a survey. Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 5, how do you rate your interaction with Scott this evening? The brand choice lady is just following him around.
There is a survey on the website.
Yes. This sexual contact may be recorded for training purposes.
Have you been up Scott?
Have you not been up Scott?
I can tell this story. I say worse on the podcast. I was, let's just say I was having a cup of tea, in inverted commas, with a couple of guys, and it was, you know, it was a grinder kind of hookup-y thing, and they went nearby and
intimate,
had a
and
pulse, yes.
Emotional.
We were, and I was like, yeah, this is great. I was in Sydney at the time with my pants off, and we were literally halfway through the act, and one of them out of the blue just went, so you're going to talk about this on the Poofcast? And I just went, oh, my God.
And
did you lose your erection?
Yeah, a little.
I tell you what, that sphincter tightened up, didn't it?
Honestly, yeah. He timed that right, too.
Scott pulled the drawstring in.
No, it's like those lights. I just clap. And but yeah, it was a little bit odd. It was a bit kind of wow. You know too much about me.
Stalky.
Yeah. And two is this kind of it's always weird.
You must have some understanding of the listenership and the
A little bit. Like we get listened to around the world. It's quite extraordinary the sorts of countries that pop up on our feed.
But what I love about it is you talk about those experiences of interaction with fans and being hijacked at bars and things in forthcoming Poofcasts, and they'll be listening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's freaky.
I know, it is creepy.
I think that's part of their excitement. I think they want to be in the book.
Yeah, they want to be a fanecdote.
Is that the mantra of the chuckle fucker? Is to be mentioned on...
I guess it is, yeah. The chuckle fucker. We were just recently introduced to that phrase. Yeah.
It's a goodie.
We used to call them jokies back in the old days.
Yes.
Now, we have one final little... ode to Scott, actually.
Uh-oh.
No, I don't think I ever have. Had the dildo up there.
Oh, right.
Is it a markedly different experience?
Yeah, it is. It's never the same.
It's never the same.
It's like vinyl and CDs, Adam.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the warmth. There's no warmth. That digital clarity is, you know, you get everything, but there's no warmth.
There are three stages to this.
Yes.
Okay. There's having a penis up there.
Yes.
There's having a dildo up there controlled by yourself.
Yes.
Or having a dildo up there controlled by somebody else. And they're three very different situations and feelings. Right.
So when it's controlled by yourself, are you alone?
Oh, no, generally there's two-way glass.
Admittedly, the kids at the zoo aren't always happy.
Going, that doesn't look like a reptile. What's happening? Oh, there's that laughter. That laughter.
It goes on.
See, we talk about the truth. We talk about the difference between having a dildo controlled by you or controlled by somebody else, which is something that the kids really need to know, guys.
You now do get, it's called teledildonics. You can have a dildo controlled from somebody around the world.
Across
the internet.
Yes, right.
I'll let you in on a little adult industry secret, though. You know those remote control eggs that you can shove up there?
Yeah.
If you've got a room full of them, they're all on the same frequency. So if there are four people wearing them and one person with a controller, you can set them all off in sequence. in sync.
Wow.
I know.
That's control eggs.
That's called cycling in a whole different way.
It is. You could just get on public transport and just keep pressing
until the garage door opens.
And
so
just
to speak.
Just see if anybody flinches.
Yours might need a lot.
Tragically vanilla compared to all you guys.
Yeah.
Scott's will need a longer aerial, I think.
No. Need to tie a rope to it.
And on that note, there's a miner with a hat and a light going down. Thank
tell
you
him,
so
tell him to stop off at the gift shop and get a cup of coffee.
We look forward to the merchandising range coming out shortly for Talking Puffy. Scott Brennan, thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure.
Adam Richard, it's been a delight. Thank you, sir.
It always is. Thank you, darling.
Thank you, boys.
Talking Puffy, next time you're listening, make sure you give a little donation to help the boys keep it on air.
Yeah, again.
And hopefully they won't take 12 months off next time.
Indeed.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.